But we're going to talk about living what we believe. Living what we believe. We have to live what we believe. If you believe something, you will live in it. You will walk in it. You will use it. You will do things in it. We need to be people of the Word of God, people of faith, and we need to live what we believe. And so when I was looking at this, I thought, what's the difference between believing and faith? Right? Because we're supposed to live, the righteous shall live by faith. What does that mean? What does it mean? It means that we need to believe that we're going to act on what we have inside of us. We're going to believe in the Bible. We're going to believe that the Word of God, this word here, is absolutely true. This is it. And you're going to have a lot of contradiction. Well, you know, there's some problems in there. Yeah, there might be some problems with translation, but the Word of God, the alive Word of God, the rhema of the Word. Now, what is the rhema? Well, the rhema is the alive part. This is the logos. This is the written part. But it comes alive. When you do your devotions, when you read this, it comes alive inside of you. Why? Because Jesus, the Word of God, lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit anoints this. This is it. Nothing else. And the more we learn about this, and the more that we start to live this, the more we're going to live what we believe. Right? We're in the end times. We haven't got time, really, to just fool around. All right. You got a little rocket ship here. Isn't that interesting? All right. Well, we'll go from this. Believing is the delivery system of faith. That's the difference between faith and believing. See, believing's a verb. That's the doing things. I'm not very good at English language. I might take ESL because it didn't work out the first time. So English is a second language second time around. But this is the verb. This is the action part. This is what does things. This is what puts things into action. Puts our faith into action by believing. So that little rocket ship, I was thinking, that's probably the best picture. Because it is the vehicle that takes the cargo to the moon or wherever we're headed. So when you're believing, you accept something as true, feel sure of the truth, your strong belief in God or a doctrine of a religion based upon spiritual apprehension rather than proof. So you don't have proof. How can you prove faith? Right? How do you prove God? There's a little girl, and you probably heard this one. She's busy drawing a picture in her little kindergarten class, and the teacher says, "What are you drawing?" She says, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The teacher says, "Well, nobody's ever seen God." She says, "They will when I'm done." That's faith. But she believed that she could do that. She believed that she could convey that around. And so the reality is we need to say, you know what? If you need to see God, see what he's doing in my life. See what he can do in your life. Take on those big things. If you have faith, then you need to believe that. If there's somebody sick, you need to lay hands on them. If there's somebody that needs to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you need to be able to have the boldness to talk to them about the faith that you have in your life. This is really interesting. Faith is the focus of believing. Faith is the focus of the action. So it's a noun. Faith is a noun. This is what we have. That's the cargo on the rocket. You can have faith and not do anything with it. You all have faith that you're sitting on pews that are safe. You have no idea that it came in earlier with a skill saw and cut a whole bunch of the legs so that any minute now one of your pews are going to fall over. No, I never did that. Because you have faith that you sat on the chairs at your table this morning. You had faith that you could get into your car and you could come here. You had faith in those things. So you believed and you went. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not just enough to have faith. You got to have belief to propel that faith into something that brings glory to God and pumps you up. So it's a noun, complete trust or confidence in someone or something, strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension or proof of the faith. Same kind of thing. But we have to have faith. We have to have faith. But we got to propel it. Isn't that exciting when you just kind of feel something inside of you and God says, do something, and you go and do it? And it happens, a miracle happens, and God gets the glory, but he used you. Why? Because you had faith and then obedience. The obedience drives your belief system. And that's what we need to do. Here's exactly what I'm talking about. I believe, help my unbelief. You ever been there? Ever been there when you just really need something from God and you need him to intervene and you go, you know what, I really believe, but I don't believe. Oh, well, you're a double-minded man or a double-minded woman and you don't expect to get anything, which would be one of our favorite things to say to somebody, which really encourages you, right? This is not what it is. It's not wishy-washy. This is being honest. This situation was a dad saying, oh, I believe, but help my unbelief. So, follow with me in Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. I'll go with this. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with the wonder and ran to greet him. This is after they came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, our theme is pray, give, and go. Jesus was up on a mountain and he was praying. Then he came down. That's kind of the go part. And then give doesn't always have to do with finances. Give has to do with freedom. Give somebody hope. Give somebody life. It's not always finances, and we kind of tie ourselves in there. What are you arguing with them about? He said. A man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought my son whom is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. So this young kid was mute. He couldn't speak. When it seizes him, it throws him into the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they couldn't do it. You unbelieving generation. Whoa. Would you like Jesus to say that to you? I don't think he went, you unbelieving generation, like I'm sick and tired of you. He just said, you're not believing that God can do this. You have faith he can, but you're not believing he can. How long shall I stay with you? In other words, I'm not going to always be here. I'm not always going to be here in the flesh so that you can watch me do it. What I want is I want you to start with that same faith that you have to follow me. I want you to start doing these things. I want you to start doing them. Do you ever get kind of overwhelmed sometimes? And like when God asks you to do something, you go, I don't think I can do that. Why don't you get somebody else to do it? Like, I know somebody who's really spiritual that could do that. And I could ask him for you if you wanted. But I don't think I can. And secondly, I know I don't want to, you know? Especially when it comes to stuff like this that's messy. You know, the demon stuff, that's kind of messy, right? Spitting and snuff, and kind of all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and faces turning into the heads of pigs and stuff like that, and they're vomiting and they're swearing, and it's just not your average Sunday morning service. So do you want to do that? I remember the first time Elaine and I ever had anything to do with demonic activity, went into our church in Victoria and Colwood, and the secretary was sitting there and her eyes were like this big. They were huge. And I said, what's up? And we just felt compelled to go in there into the office because we were walking by the church. And so she says, there's a lady in the foyer. And she's sitting there, and I think she has a demons, kind of. So I'm thinking, We shouldn't come in here. I'm a board member, but I don't care. We should, the pastor's not there. Where is the pastor anyway? Where are those pastors? Should have been in his office, should have been waiting for this. He's probably out having coffee with somebody. This is important. No other board members around, just Elaine and I go in there. Sure enough, she was sitting there, kind of in the lotus position or something like that. And how do you approach somebody? Say, hey, hi, here you have a demon. Think about it. What do you do? No, it wasn't like that. It was like we kind of looked in the door, and there she was. Then we went and looked, get a different angle from another doorway. And then we just wandered in and said, what can we do for you? And she just kind of manifested a little bit. And so we interpreted that as probably nothing that we could do for her because we weren't that spiritual. So we didn't really know what to do. So I don't think we did anything, right? We might have prayed with her, but it just wasn't because we had faith that Christ can do anything. He can raise the dead, right? He can cast out demons. He can do all these things. But we didn't have the belief. So it was actually without saying, Lord, help my unbelief. I want us to become people. I want to become a person that believes. Whatever God puts in my path, whoever God puts in my path, whatever circumstances that he puts in, I believe. I believe. And I don't have to go to that place and say, please help my unbelief. Next slide. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, that immediately threw the boy into the convulsion and he fell on the ground and rolled over, foaming at the mouth. That's awesome. You know why that's awesome? Because the demons knew who Jesus was. And they knew they were defeated. So what did they do? They tried to scare Jesus. We've had other encounters with demons where they just manifested and they did everything in their power to scare us. I have flesh. I'm still flesh. And I can get scared. I can get scared. But there's someone inside of me that says, don't worry. Greater is he that is in me than he that is out in the world intimidating you. Remember that. And so he threw him in the fire and he threw him on the ground. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. He's often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can do anything. I don't think he believed that Jesus couldn't do anything. But sometimes when you're in the circumstances, when you're in the center of the mess, it's like, you know, I don't know what you can do and I don't know what I can do and I just don't know what needs to be done. But we've witnessed this. We've seen our boy who we love, who's our kid, who's part of us. We've seen him thrown into the water. We've seen him thrown into the fire. We've seen him where he's been hurt and he convulses and he stays up all night screaming and there's no way we can console him. I don't know. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can. You see the belief part? If you can. So Jesus kind of brings it back to us. What do you believe? Not what do you have faith in. What do you believe that you can activate that faith in? That's an important piece. You need to get that rocket to shoot that faith off, to get to the target. Like we got rockets going to Mars now. Or they're on Mars. They want to go further, deeper into the galaxies. And that's wonderful. But you'd imagine how they got to calculate all that? How much fuel they need? And they got to figure all those kind of things. I think it's amazing. And God's got that already calculated for your belief to reach the target with your faith to destroy or to bring life to whatever's necessary. But you got to believe. He says, if you can, Everything's possible for me who believes, or the one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father said this, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? A pretty honest dad, don't you think? Pretty frustrated and scared dad. He said, help my unbelief. There's some of us here this morning that you're struggling with some stuff. You have faith. And you've seen some things happen. You've seen some amazing things happen in your life. God has used you to do amazing things. He has allowed you to be in a situation where you laid hands on people and God touched them and ministered to them, changed their lives. You've had people lay hands on you and you know your faith is absolutely up to the top. You know that. But the circumstances are saying, this is actually too big. Or, I'm just really too tired to fight anymore. And I think that's where that dad was. I'm just really too tired. So, Lord, would you help my unbelief? Would you help me believe? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can even believe through Christ who strengthens you. You need to fire that rocket off. You need to send that faith. You need to move in that area so that there is fullness of your walk. And it takes that part of believing. When Jesus saw a crowd was running, and this is another part here, he rebuked the impure spirit. The people gather around that kind of stuff. Boy, I tell you, they gather around. Especially if a spirit manifests in a church service, some people be running to the door, like, I'm out of here. Other people go, hey, I wonder what's going to happen here. Especially when they're writhing on the floor and swearing and stuff like that. Because that does kind of change the tone of the service, don't you think? Because that's not very Christian-like, is it? So when Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. Do you think he went, I command you in the name of myself to come out? And I've been there where the preachers have done that. Just yelled and screamed and scared everybody in the congregation. The pastor did. You do not need to yell or shout or scream when you have the authority of Jesus Christ. I think Jesus just looked at the boy and said, you unclean spirit, come out of him and never enter him again. Just like that. Boom. That kid was different. Actually, he looked like he was dead. The spirit shrieked. Of course they're going to do that. You ever been around them? Shrieking spirits? They can make the flesh just kind of crawl up your back and you think, wonder how this is going. we told him to get out and he's still shrieking. Is he coming out? Because you don't know. Because everyone's different. You can have we can practice doing demon casting and it's a scenario, but there's never one the same. But I'll tell you something, Jesus is the same. And the demons know that. That's why when they saw him, they try to do everything they can to deflect the power of the Holy Spirit. So he shrieked. The demon shrieked, convulsed him into violently, and then came out. And the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, now you killed him, Jesus. Way to go. At least he was alive and convulsing. Now, he's dead. See how we do that? But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up on his feet and he stood up. and Jesus had gone out indoors, his disciples asked him privately, now, why couldn't we drive him out? Because they had tried. Remember when Jesus was up on the mountain, these guys were down. He only took three of his disciples up on the mountain with him. The others were down there, and Jesus said, this kind can come out only by prayer. Is that the Lord's prayer? You're supposed to say that every day? Remember that theme we have here is pray, give, and go. You need to be people of prayer. If you're going to expect God to do these things, you need to talk with him beforehand. You don't need to spend, like if you know you're going to a service where there might be demons, that doesn't mean that you spend that whole day, and you can do this, in preparation for that. You need to spend your life in preparation for that day. Do you hear me? Because you'll be called on to do something when you're not ready to do it. That's the deal. It's not like everything's scheduled. Everything's scheduled in God's economy, but you don't know when that's going to happen. So you might be in a grocery store and somebody manifests a demon. It's a lot easier to do it actually in the church or in a little private area than try to do it in a... but I've been in places where demons have manifest, and it's not where it's comfortable for me. You might be praying for somebody who's sick in a restaurant. They might just even come up to you. Maybe it's the waiter or the waitress and going, you know, I'm not really feeling that good. Your response can be, say, well, why are you at work? I don't want to get sick. That could be the way. Or do you think maybe God, you just sent her here or him here so that we can pray before they take your order? Now, you could say, well, I didn't pray this morning. I didn't do my devotions. So I don't believe that I have the power. You have the power inside of you. You need to believe that God is working through you in spite of yourself. There's times, I'll tell you, when I didn't feel very spiritual and God healed people. So how much did I have in part of that? Not very much. But he just showed me that he will use me, he will use you, if we believe. If we believe, we'll fire that rocket off of faith and it'll hit its mark. It will hit its mark and God will get the glory. God will get the glory. Not Jim Caruso. Well, hallelujah. I have this healing ministry. We better get on the road and go heal everybody. We better get down to Richmond Hospital and walk through the wards and touch everybody. Hallelujah. Pour oil on them and glory. If God tells you to do that, go and do it. If you're going to do it because of your ministry, don't do it. Don't do it. When God tells you to do something, you do it because you believe that God told you to do it and he's able to do it, and he will. He'll do it. And you'll be pumped and he'll be glorified. There's some other areas in Scripture that talk about this whole area of belief and faith. So Mark 16, 13 to 15, it says, they returned and reported it to the rest. They did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. We saw the Lord. No, you never. No, you never. Well, I didn't see him, so then you never. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can get in arguments. I don't believe that God healed them because I never seen it happen. I don't believe that God saved them because I never led them through the sinner's prayer. Right? I have to actually give them the sinner's prayer so that I know that they're saved. No. It's got nothing to do with us. If we're asked to do it, it has everything to do with us. And Jesus spoke to them and said and rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. We've got to have that belief that propels the rocket of faith. John 12, 41 to 43 says, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him, yet at the same time many, even among the leaders, believed in him. So Jesus was preaching to them, the Pharisees. He's preaching about what was going to change from religion to relationship to once a sacrifice of his blood was given for each and every person instead of the continuous sacrifices that were given in the temple for the atonement of sin. So they openly acknowledged their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they believed human praise more than praise from God. And they stayed Pharisees. Romans 3, 23, or 21 to 23 says this, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So the faith piece is there, but to activate that faith in your life, to change your life, you have to believe. You have to believe. And so we're going to go on a journey about believing for a while. We're going to go on a journey about what we believe and why we believe it. Romans. Romans is an awesome book. Romans is a very theological book, very powerful book, very Holy Spirit book. He says in Romans 10, Paul writes this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you declare with your mouth, that's faith, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart. 2,700 people plus believed in their heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for the salvation of their sins. And Franklin Graham didn't pull any punches. He just said, sin, this is the thing that separates us. And then he named all the sins, and he probably offended a whole bunch of people. The gospel of Jesus Christ is going to offend a lot of people. You know what? I think even more so now, we're going to find that we're going to be not included in anything that goes on. We will be the people that say there's only one way. Do you believe that you can stand up and say that as time gets tighter, as things start to happen more? There is no other way. There is no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. There isn't another path. There isn't anything else. Everything else leads to destruction and hell. But it might be a narrow way, but it's amply big for everyone who wants to come. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. See the words believe, believe, believe? That's so important. We need to believe. We need to be believers. Okay, we need to be followers of Christ, but we need to be believers. We need to believe that God can do all that he said he could do. And that he will do all that he said he would do. And that he loves you. We heard that. That he loves you. That he loves you. And will continue to love you. Not just here while you're on earth, but he'll continue to love you as you spend eternity with him. 2 Corinthians 4, 12 to 14 says, so then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I've spoken. Since that time, the spirit of faith, since we have that spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. That's the boldness that we need. That's what we need. We need to be able to be people who have believed, and then you speak. We need to be people like that. We need to speak life into people. There are so many people that are living in darkness and living in death. They're not living a full life. They're not involved in the economics of God. They're struggling with their finances. They're doing all sorts of things. Their health is crashing down around them, and they're doing it alone. We know them. Why do you think we know them? So that we can come alongside them. Not get all preachy and... Because some people just put their hand up and say, no, look, I don't want that. Appreciate what you do. But you can be an example still. And that door still can open. But you need to believe. You need to believe. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you to himself. One day soon, Jesus is coming back for his church. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Coming back. This building will be empty. I don't want to come in when it's empty. I want to be part of the empty, right? I want to be caught up if the rapture takes place, and if it happens before all the difficulties happen, and Pastor Brown talked about this last Sunday. The thing is, I just want to be ready, but I want to be caught doing what he wants me to do. And you know what? Some of us are going to go on before others. I mean, we don't know. Our days are numbered. We know that. And so you get home before someone else. But then he's going to come and catch away his bride. Coming back. Been talking about this for a long time. It's coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back. He didn't die for nothing. He didn't die so that we just go through a life cycle here and then things go on for eternity down here. No, he came to give us life, and that life abundantly. And then he went and prepared a place for us, a mansion. Pretty awesome. And Darwin Pichette was here, Pastor Darwin, and he just painted a beautiful picture of that. You know what? I think we need to be realizing that God is speaking to us, that he's coming back real soon. And we have some work to do all over the world. We get that opportunity to go all over the world and touch people's lives. Or right here in Richmond, because that's part of his world as well. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. So it's not that the faith hasn't been given. It is by grace we are saved through faith. But we have to believe. You had to believe to become a follower of Christ. You had the whole package delivered to you, and they explained about what Jesus did for you. That's the faith part, but you had to say, yes, I will accept that and have my sins washed clean. Hebrews 11:5-7 says this: by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he didn't experience death. I want to go with Enoch, right? He could not be found because God had taken him away, and before he was taken away, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe. Okay, we have to have faith, but you got to have to believe in that faith. So you need to rocket that faith off. Believing is important. He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Are you one of those who receive rewards from God? Oh, I'm not saying that Amazon sends you stuff just like without sending you a bill. I'm saying everyday life. Do you get up and do you start breathing right away, like because you didn't stop during the night? That's a gift, right? You don't even think about it. You thought about setting your clocks ahead, but you didn't think about not breathing, right? Because you just do that. He's the giver of life. And so that's what we believe, is that he created us with those things and that he rewards us. He'll look after everything you have need of. Do you know that? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. 1 Peter, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith, you get it? And hope are in God. Your faith and hope are propelled by your belief. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you now have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. And 1 John says this, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves the child as well, loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God. See, by loving God and carrying out his commands, in fact, this love for God to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. By loving God and carrying out his commands, in fact, this is the love for God. We keep his commands and his commands. We already read that one. Is there another one? Yeah. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. As your pastor, there's no greater joy than knowing that you walk in what you believe and your faith grows. That blesses me. As your pastor, I need to do that as well. I need to walk. I need to walk in faith, and I need to believe that God can do all that he said he could do and things that I can't even fathom that he could do through me, through you, to bring his name glory. It's important that we believe. And you know what we're going to do? Is we're going to start talking about living what we believe. And hopefully, my desire is that we become stronger in our faith and more bold in activating it. I would love to send rockets of faith all over. I would love you to send rockets of faith out of your own lives so that you believe where you never believed before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you struggled with this area in your life where you have faith but you don't have the belief that pushes that to a place that might even be uncomfortable for you but is very comfortable for God, then I want you to come forward. I want you to, I want to pray with you. So I just want you to come. If you have a trouble with believing, remember one thing is that I'm asking you to come, but I'm already here. All right, so you're not going to come and stand alone. But you need to go from this room today believing, honestly, believing that God can do all that you have faith for and that he can do it through you. You need to walk out with that kind of assurance. And then you need to live a life of believing. So please come forward.